We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we again approach your throne of grace with empty hands, holding them out, pleading with you to fill them with the food of your holy, precious word. I pray that you guide us as we meditate upon another section of it and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verses 38 to 40, in their hearts. Stephen here is dwelling on Moses. And in verse 38, he says this, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Very interesting verse. Mainly because there are so many people, VIPs with doctor's degrees on the walls, that are claiming that the Old Testament people had no idea of a church. And actually, if you look up the word in Esord and find where the word church and churches are used, they're right. I'm going to read through just to make a point of this. These are the verses that I've found in Esord, and they're all New Testament. Matthew, 2 verses found, 3 matches. Acts, 24 verses found, 24 matches. Romans, 5 verses found, 5 matches. 1 Corinthians, 21 verses found, 22 matches. 2 Corinthians, 9 verses found, 9 matches. Galatians, 3 verses found, 3 matches. Ephesians, 9 verses found, 9 matches. Philippians, 2 verses found, 2 matches. Colossians, 4 verses found, 4 matches. 1 Thessalonians, 2 verses found, 2 matches. 2 Thessalonians, 2 verses found, 2 matches. 1 Timothy, 3 verses found, 3 matches. Philemon, 1 verse found, 1 match. Hebrews, 2 verses found, 2 matches. James, 1 verse found, 1 match. 3 John, 3 verses found, 3 matches. Revelation, 19 verses found, 20 matches. The word church or churches is a very important word. Why isn't it found anywhere in the Old Testament? Well, the ones that claim that the Old Testament people had no idea of a church are the same ones that claim that none of the people in the Old Testament believed in the resurrection of the dead either. It's the same people. And if they would do a little homework and maybe a little word study, they would find out finally, and it wouldn't take very long, to come to Acts chapter 7, verse 38, talking about Moses. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Now, a kindergartner can understand that. There was a church in the Old Testament. There always, well, why isn't it specifically mentioned? Well, the Holy Spirit writes differently than we do, for one thing. But for another, the church in Scripture is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. And so these many, 115 matches, they're all starting in the New Testament, because that's when Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, appeared and gave his life for his bride. That's why the words is used so often in the New Testament. But it was known also in the Old Testament. So anyway, we compare Scripture with Scripture, and that's where you come to it. Remember also that there were when the Bible talks about churches, there are two different churches. There's a visible church, which is filled with hypocrites, and you can see the people in the church and all that sort of thing, but you can't look into the heart. But then in the visible church, you can see a lot of people, but there's a lot of hypocrites. The other church is the invisible church, which is made up of the elect, the very small remnant, chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. Every elect child of God is a member of the invisible church, and there are no hypocrites in it. And we went over the idea before about the resurrection from the dead. They claim that the Old Testament people didn't know about that, but in the Old Testament, God told Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Not "I was," "I am." So anyway, the Bible talks about being lively oracles. And this is a precious truth. The Bible is a living book. There is no other book like it in the whole world. And this is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and to me. And that's why the book is so precious. This is our book. It doesn't belong to the heathen people. So, moving along with the text here, Stephen is preaching to the people, or giving his final words before they stone him to death. And they're after him. They hate him, and they hate what he's preaching and what he's teaching, claiming that he was going against Moses and claiming that Jesus rose from the dead and sort of that. So anyway, to whom our Father... Remember, Stephen is talking to these people, and history is going to repeat itself. It's repeating itself in his very words. To whom our fathers would not obey, talking about Moses, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt. They thrust him out. They hated him. Moses. A great rebellion occurred in the Old Testament against Moses. And I'm going to go against the teaching that we were given at seminary, that you don't ever read a long, long verse or chapter as your sermon text. But I'm going to do it anyway. And the reason is this, that as we read through, and it's in Numbers chapter 16, if you want to follow along. I'm going to read most of the verses in there. I could give you a summary of it, but it wouldn't really give you the feel of the chapter. There was a tremendous rebellion against Moses. And it was widespread. It wasn't just a few people. And God was listening in and watching. And this, as Stephen was speaking it, the same history was being played out by the ones who were listening. And they should have come to the conclusion, this is talking about us. But as we read through the chapter, remember how it was all fulfilled during the ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth when he was 30 years old to 33. It was all fulfilled in him, and this points to it. So, Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram. Remember those names, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Here are the unholy trinity. The sons of Eliab and On, and the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These were all VIPs. It wasn't just Korah, Nathan, and Abiram. They were the main chief leaders, but there were a lot of other people involved. 250 princes that the people almost worshipped. That's the context. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." We're all equal before God. We're as important before God as you are. What right do you have to lift yourself up above everybody else? Well, the fact of the matter is that Moses didn't lift himself up above everybody else. God appointed him. "And he spake unto Korah," now Moses, "and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is," I'm trying to turn the page here, "and who is holy. You claim you're all children of God? Well, tomorrow the Lord's going to show you. And he will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do. Take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah," there's a showdown coming. Shoot out at the OK Corral. Tomorrow it's going to happen. It's coming. And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" Comment. What they were doing was no more important than what the common people were doing. But it was their calling to do it. God calls his different people to do different things in different situations. And Korah, he wasn't lifting himself above anybody else. It was of God, but he didn't see that. So to continue, "And he hath brought near unto him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also?" They coveted to be a priest, not just doing the work that God wanted them to do. "And they're all laying this on Moses. For which cause both thou and thy company are gathered together against Moses?" No. You're gathered together against the Lord. "And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him?" And Moses, and these people are angry. They are angry. And there's a lot of them. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. We're not coming. You got no right to ask us to come to you. We're not coming. We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us?" Now these people are they're talking to Moses. "Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey and to kill us in the wilderness? Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? You're trying to rule us. And we're dying out here in the wilderness. You wouldn't let us go into the land of milk and honey. Well, you're the ones that didn't want to go in. Joshua and Caleb did. They wanted to go in. They said, God will take, we can't go in. That's what you said. There's giants in there, and we're like grasshoppers in there. It's like, we don't have a chance. The walls of the city reach up to heaven. We can't go in. Now they're blaming Moses for it. We wanted to go in, but you let us back out into the wilderness. See how they twist things? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Okay. And Moses was very wroth. And he said unto the Lord, "Respect not thou their offering." Remember, as we're going through this, that Moses said the Lord would send a prophet like unto me. And that prophet like unto me was Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of parallels between the life of Moses and the life of Jesus. And here Moses said, respect not their offering. Don't listen to their prayers. Don't accept their offering. That's what Jesus said in his high priestly prayer to the Heavenly Father. I pray not for them. I pray for those whom thou hast given me. A prophet like unto me, Moses said. I have not taken one ass from them. This is Moses talking to God. Neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, 250 of these guys. And the censers were supposedly given to worship God. 250 of them. Thou also, and Aaron, each one of you, his censer. So Aaron is outnumbered 251-1. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them. The whole mess was involved in this. It was a gigantic uprising. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram. They were neighbors. Their tents were right next to each other. Korah's was a little ways away. And that's what makes the difference here. So Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. So God said, okay, you guys are neighbors of these. Get away from them. Separate yourself from them so that you don't receive the punishment that I'm going to give to them. So they did that. Now, the Holy Spirit zeal zooms in on Dathan and Abiram. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out. This is one of the most touching verses in all Scripture. You almost can't read it without weeping. But you have to remember, these men hated Jesus Christ. They hated the bride of Jesus Christ. Remember that. Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or like if they die of old age, or whatever, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, behold, I come, surely I come quickly. Yeah. They go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah and Dathan, Korah and their goods, they and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. They were crying when they went down. They were terrified. And they fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. And the censers of these sinners against their own souls, sinners against their own soul. Remember that. whoever does anything against one of God's elect, it's all working for God's elect good, and they'll be blessed. But for them, they're not sinning against you. They're sinning against the Lord, and they're sinning against their own souls. Remember that. There's a judgment day coming. Okay. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. So, okay, so then that kind of covers it to this point. And let's see. I want to go to verse 41 right now. To finish this up, finish the chapter, starting at verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Well, what was the problem? Saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. What warped thinking. You guys killed these people of the Lord. They were VIPs. They were well known in the congregation. They were loved and adored. The problem was they were hypocrites, and they hated Moses, and they hated Jesus Christ, and they hate the bride of Christ, and God destroys them. And they're blaming Moses and Jesus, really. Ye have killed the people of the Lord, Moses. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. So now a plague is coming. And Moses is praying for those that just accused him of killing all these people. On the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus was praying for those who, one of them at that time was among the elect, and he was hanging on the cross next to Jesus on his right hand. And Jesus knew that. So Moses and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran unto the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. So Moses here was a type of Jesus Christ. And the anti-type is always greater than the type. But all the anger that the people were showing against Moses, history is repeating itself as Stephen was speaking these words. And the ones that he was the ones he was speaking to should have realized this is us that he's talking about. We're the ones that did this. And he's going to point it out. You killed God's anointed. That's coming in the future. But anyway, this we wanted to read this whole thing because you see the seriousness of it and how extensive it all was. And of the visible church in the wilderness, of the visible church, the hypocrites by far outnumbered the elect. But in the invisible church, there were still God's elect there too, and they're all going to be saved. So notice here also, to whom our fathers would not obey, and what Stephen is indicating here, you guys are chips off the old block. You're going to follow in the same pathway your fathers did, only it's going to be worse. They hated Moses. You're hating the greater than Moses, the Son of God. Whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them. Remember the first sermon that Jesus preached in his hometown of Nazareth? And when it was over, they thrust him out and took him to the brow of the hill, tried to throw him down and kill him. Like unto Moses, that's what he is. And so there was the great rebellion against Moses, and in their hearts turned back into Egypt again. So at this particular point, they wanted to leave the wilderness and go back into slavery in the land of Egypt. That's what they wanted. God stopped them from doing it. But in their hearts, they did it. It's a matter of the heart, isn't it? It's always a matter of the heart. And in their hearts, they returned and turned back again into Egypt, saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We don't know where he went. Was he a chicken and afraid, so he ran so we wouldn't kill him? Is that what he did? Well, no, that wasn't it. They might have thought that. But the last chapter of Deuteronomy tells us what happened. I'm going to close by reading a few of the verses. Deuteronomy 34. Moses went up from the plains of Moab into the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. That's the Mediterranean. And the south, and the plain to the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swore unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. Moab. Remember Ruth the Moabitess? He died in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he, God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. That's why they couldn't find him, and don't think they didn't look. Only God knows. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And that's Moses.